Praise the Lord. Let's give our worship team a hand this morning. Leading us. Please turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Jesus gave the church a mandate. He gave the church an assignment to fulfill in his absence. It's a mandate that is to capture our hearts. It's a mandate that is to focus all of our priorities and our resources. It's the mandate to make disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus makes clear this mandate. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Jesus is our commander in chief, and we are his army. And the marching orders that he's given to us, his church, is that we are to make disciples of all the nations. Now, there's one thing that is vitally critical to fulfilling this mandate. We have to understand what a disciple is in order to make disciples. It's imperative for a pastoral team to be able to define what a disciple is. It's also essential for every individual member of the church to be able to define what a disciple is. We all need to be in agreement as to what a disciple is, because the making of disciples hinges on our biblical understanding of the concept of being a disciple. See, when leadership fails to clearly articulate what a disciple is, it hurts individual members in the church, because members of the church can't be a disciple if they don't really understand what a disciple is. And it also affects the overall effectiveness and faithfulness of the church. If you cannot define what you're doing, you're not going to be very effective at accomplishing it. So it is essential to being able to make disciples that we know what a disciple is. And understanding how important it is to be able to define a disciple correctly. A year ago, I entered into this series with you called Follow Me, Discipleship According to Jesus. Our focal text for this series was Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Jesus focuses in this passage specifically upon the topic of discipleship. And verse 17 was our key verse in working through our understanding of a disciple. Because it's in this verse that Jesus teaches us the truth that a disciple is actually multidimensional. And what I mean by that is that in defining what a disciple is, we find that it consists of three parts. And we've spent the last year and a half breaking down those three parts. Follow me, the first part. I will make you become, the second part. And fishers of men, the third part. And our study in our Follow Me series, it brings us to this morning, where we now reach the destination of our journey. When I started this series, I had a goal in mind. I was going to walk you through this passage and the other supporting New Testament texts to help flesh out that definition to get us to this point where we are here today. And we're going to conclude our study where we began it, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And this morning, we are going to be revealing our church's new mission statement based upon this very text. Some of you may be asking, what is a mission statement? A mission statement basically answers the question, what are we supposed to be doing as a church? It answers this question for us and for others, what is the reason for our existence? What are we all about as a church? Now, a good mission statement, it is going to be broad. It's not going to focus on all the details and all the specifics and all of the strategies in fulfilling our specific goal, our purpose. But it's going to be broad in the sense that it's going to be comprehensive, general enough to give us the big picture. It's going to summarize what we are trying to accomplish as a church here, as Lakeland Baptist Church. It's going to be broad. It's going to be brief. Some church mission statements are so long that not only can the congregation not they're not only able to recall them easily, neither is the leadership of the church easily able to recall them. So we're going to make ours brief. It's going to be specific, it's going to be precise, but it's going to be short enough so that it's memorizable, that you can actually commit it to heart and you'll be able to recall it easily so that you can sum up what our church is all about. And third of all, it's going to be broad, brief, and it's going to be biblical. A church mission statement obviously needs to be rooted in Scripture. And ours is going to be drawn specifically from the text that we've been expounding upon over the last year and a half, Mark chapter 1, verse 17. If someone asks you, hey, you go to Lakeland Baptist Church, don't you? What's your church all about? What are you guys trying to accomplish down there? Through this mission statement, you are going to be able to explain to them what our church is all about. And it's going to follow Jesus' three-part definition of a disciple that we see here in Mark 1:17. I'm going to have Pat pull up a slide, and we're going to have some slides for you this morning so that you'll be able to see this mission statement as it unfolds. I want you to go to the next slide, Pat. Here's our first slide. This is going to be the initial statement in our mission statement. Lakeland Baptist Church exists. Now stop with me right there. This word exists, it tells us that this sentence is going to be a statement of purpose. It's going to answer what we are supposed to be doing. We exist. Why do we exist? To glorify God. As you look throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, everything in the life of the son or daughter of God, everything in the life of the Christian, including the mission of the church, it all falls under this overarching goal to glorify God. And when you ask, what does it mean to glorify God? As John Piper states it, he puts it so well. To glorify God, it means to feel and to think and to act in ways that reflect God's greatness. We want to, in all that we do, we want to make much of God. We want to supremely elevate God. We want to make known His majesty and His greatness. And the way we're going to do that, to glorify God, to make much of God here at Lakeland Baptist Church, is by developing faithful followers of Christ. Now, if we wanted to, we could actually stop our mission statement right there at that point. How is our church going to glorify God? By fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 28. We want to raise up faithful followers of Christ. We want to raise up devoted disciples of Christ. We desire to train up those who are sold out, fully committed to the understanding of what it means to be a disciple as Jesus understood the concept of being a disciple. If we wanted to, we could actually stop it right there, but we're not going to stop it right there. And in a few moments, we'll show you the next slide as they go on, that our definition or our explanation of our mission, we're going to go on and we're going to actually give some concrete expression of concrete explanation as to what it means to actually be a faithful follower of Christ. Because I believe a lot of people would say, yeah, we want to raise up faithful followers of Christ, but we still don't get it. What does a faithful follower of Jesus look like? In this passage, Jesus tells us that clearly. So before we move on to the next slide, I want us to look at the text. Go to Mark chapter 1. Let's look at the context again, and then we will break down this passage as our mission statement flows. Starting in verse 16, Mark tells us, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow him. Dear Lord, we ask that you will bless this passage this morning, Lord, as we summarize this series that we have been preaching through based upon this passage, God, I pray that you will tie the pieces together. God, help us to recall what we've been learning. And God, help us to see how our mission statement here at Lakeland ties in with the biblical understanding of what it means to be a disciple. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jesus, in this passage, he calls his disciples to follow him. His personal call was, follow me. And the way we are going to make disciples here at Lakeland Baptist Church, what our goal is going to be, as you can see on our next slide, is we want to develop faithful followers of Christ right here who know him personally. When Jesus gave the command or the summons to individuals, follow me, we have learned as we've studied this passage that this phrase is actually a technical phrase throughout the New Testament, which equals discipleship. It's synonymous with being a disciple. To be a disciple was to be a follower of Christ, and to be a follower of Christ was to be a disciple. Now, what I want you to pay attention to in verse 17 is when Jesus says, follow me, he's telling us that discipleship, at its heart, it always requires this understanding that it means to know him personally. Jesus did not, when he summoned his first followers, he didn't say, hey guys, I want you to follow an idea. He didn't say, hey, I want you to follow a specific morality. I want you to follow a specific movement. He didn't say, hey, I want you to follow a specific cause. No, he says, I want you to follow me. He was pointing people directly to himself. And so what Jesus shows us in understanding discipleship is that it is intensely personal, that it is relational. To be a disciple means for the Son of God to intimately enter into a vital union with a sinner. And it also means for this sinner to enter into this vital union, this relationship with the Son of God, so that the Son of God knows this man or this woman, and this man or this woman knows the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, those who follow Jesus, those who are disciples, they enter into this binding, real relationship that produces a real fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as we studied this aspect of what it means to be a disciple, we noted that this basically summarizes the salvation aspect. Back in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, you'll remember, as Jesus came onto the scenes, in verse 15, he was preaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He was preaching to the crowds and to those that were listening that he was the king, the Savior who was promised in the Old Testament that God foretold would one day come. And it would be this promised King Savior who would deliver God's people from not only their physical enemies, but most importantly, their spiritual enemies, sin and death. And it would be this King who would establish the rule of God in the lives of those who would follow him. And it would be him who would bring his followers into a right relationship with God. And in this passage, Jesus tells us what it looks like for a person to receive this salvation, this relationship with God. Jesus says in verse 15, repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance and belief or faith, they are essential for what it means to know Jesus personally. And as you can see here on the slide, what we are talking about when a person comes to know Christ personally is, number one, we're talking about deliverance from sin. And then number two, we're talking about devotion to Christ. You say, so what does this mean for us as a church? Our goal, our purpose is to raise up faithful followers of Christ who know him personally. It means, Lakeland Baptist Church, that we have a responsibility to help people understand man's great problem before God, and to help man understand God's gracious provision for man for that problem. Concerning their great problem, it's the gospel. The gospel which I make clear in this pulpit from Sunday in and Sunday out. It is this message that there's one God who's created the heavens and the earth. We have one creator. And he's made us to be in a relationship with him. And one day we're all going to stand before our creator and give an account. And that's terrifying news. When you read the Bible, that should strike fear into the heart of every man. Because the Bible tells us our great problem is that we've all rebelled against him. We're all born into this world with a broken, corrupt heart that we inherited from our first parents who disobeyed God, Adam and Eve. They passed it down to us. And we all act on that brokenness, that corruption in our hearts so that we defy God in the way we think and the way we speak and the way we live our lives. He's holy, holy, holy. And we're impure. We're defiled. We're corrupt inside. And that inward corruption manifests itself in what we call sin. And the Bible's very clear that great problem we have, it not only results in us being separated from God in this life, but the judgment to come when we stand before God is eternal separation and condemnation for all of our wrongdoings in a literal hell. So we tell people about their great problem, but then we tell people about God's gracious provision, that God loved us so much. That he had a plan in place before Adam and Eve ever sinned and passed down to us a corrupted heart. And that plan involved his son, his one and only son, who always existed with him before the foundation of the world, coming into this world and becoming like us, being born of a virgin, a unique supernatural birth in the womb of a woman who had never been with a man, so that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, entered into our time and he was born as the God-man. And he lived for us. He perfectly obeyed the Father in everything. He kept the law perfectly, something we could never do. And then he ultimately gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice for us. You see, the penalty for our wrongdoing is death. And Jesus Christ was willing to substitute his perfect life on the cross. And as he hung on that cross, he took our sin and our judgment. And after he died, he was put into the grave. But he came back from the dead as the resurrected king who is victorious over our spiritual enemies of sin and death. And he has conquered them. And what our responsibility is in thinking about people coming to know him personally, we have to make clear that people need deliverance from sin. They are slaves to that rebellion in their hearts against God. And there's only one person who can break that rebellion, and that is Jesus Christ. And they must devote their lives to him as Lord and as Savior. And Jesus, when a person's willing to come to him, he offers forgiveness, his righteous life, his perfect life, in exchange for all of our sin. And he enters in, and he sits down on the throne of our hearts, and he, from that day forward, he rules our lives. Here at Lakeland Baptist Church, let me tell you what this means to know Jesus personally as a disciple. It means we will not water down the truth of the gospel. We will not bow down to the whims of the culture. We will not tickle people's itching ears. Our message will be compassionate, but it will be convictional. Anybody of any background of ethnicity or race is welcome to come into this church. We will be a shelter of help and of hope to the vilest of sinners. We will not condemn them and we will not judge them. But you mark my word, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we will not add to this church by subtracting from the truth. We're going to look people in the eyes with compassion and love, and we're going to be straightforward as the scripture is, and we're going to say, unless you repent and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will likewise perish. You will not enter into the kingdom of God. The other day, I was finishing up a phone call as I was making my way up the stairwell to our apartment. As I got to the door, I was loaded down with my briefcase, had books in one hand. I think I had my gym bag around my shoulder. I've got the key in the door, and I am trying to turn the lock, but it's not turning. And I'm thinking, oh, man, don't tell me this is happening. So I took the key out, and I pressed it in again, and I'm shaking it very forcefully, but nothing's happening. So, man, I put everything down. I get this key. I'm examining the key, making sure it's not bent or broken. I'm like, man, the key looks great. So I put it in the door again. This time I use the key ring to get a little bit more force. And I start trying to twist it that way. but it's not budging. Then all of a sudden, I looked to the right of the door, and I realized what I had done. I had gotten off on the second floor, and I live on the third floor. I just started thinking, I pray to God no one's in this house right now. Local Baptist pastor is arrested for trying to breaking and entering. You see, that key I have, it only fits one door in all of our apartment complexes. There's only one key, and there's only one door for the salvation that God offers to us. That door is Jesus Christ. And that key that Jesus has made clear in this passage is the key of repentance and faith. We can't substitute it with baptism. We can't substitute it with joining the church. We can't substitute it with whimsical prayers. Hey, just pray this prayer real quick, and you know what? Everything will be fine and dandy, and you'll enter into heaven, and you'll be right with God. You can't substitute repentance and faith with just whimsical, heartless prayers. You can't substitute the key of repentance and faith with behavior modification. Hey, you know what? You just need to start making changes to your life, and things are going to work out. No, our mission to make disciples here at Lakeland Baptist Church will always start where it started with Jesus, is that people have to make a decision for him. They have to be willing to turn from their sin, admit that they are God forsaken, that they're lost, they're under condemnation, and they're separated from him, and they're willing to abandon that way of life and choose God's only door to enter into forgiveness of sins, a right relationship with him, and to receive the gift of eternal life. We must do our due diligence to help people who want to become a part of this church to understand that we can't make a decision for Christ for you. It must start with you. You must personally answer the question, what will I do with Jesus? And we've got to help them understand that when they come to faith in Christ, they are renouncing their own lives. They are saying, for me to follow Jesus, I understand he's going to come first from this point forward. I'm getting behind him. I'm denouncing myself, and I'm denouncing my will, and I'm choosing Christ. I'm dying to the old way, and by his power, when he comes into my life, there's going to be a new way of living. So if someone asks you, what does it mean for you guys to be raising up faithful followers of Christ? Say, well, we want to develop faithful followers of Christ who know him personally. And this is a great opportunity for you to get into the gospel. See, here at Lakeland, we believe man's greatest problem is a sin problem. And to know Jesus personally, you need deliverance from sin. And if you're going to know him personally, when you turn from sin, you've got to trust in him and only him. You got to devote your life to him, dedicate yourself to him. You're going to trust in him to rescue you from the judgment to come. And you're saying, I'm not just receiving you as my savior to rescue me from hell, but as my master moving forward. And you're going to give me a new way of life. The gospel is going to be front and center here. Everything we do at Lakeland Baptist Church. I'm going to continue to preach the gospel from this pulpit. Sadly, across our churches in this land, you could go into many of them, and people would not even know what the gospel is because the gospel's never presented, the gospel's never shared, the gospel's never talked about. But I'm going to be a pastor that keeps talking about the gospel from this pulpit because it's the only message that will change people's lives. And if you get tired of hearing the gospel, that's not my problem, that's your problem. Because I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. We're going to saturate everything we do here at Lakeland Baptist Church with the gospel, all of our outreach events, all of our ministry opportunities, all of our preaching, and all of our teaching. We're going to keep pointing people to the gospel so that they can know him personally. That's where it starts with being a disciple. So that's the first aspect of what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ, someone who knows him personally. But Jesus goes on in the text to say, follow me, and I will make you become. This is a transition where Jesus is telling us once a person attaches their life to his, that he's going to begin this work within them, this process within them, and it's going to result in something. And this is where we move on to the second aspect of our mission statement. We're going to raise up faithful followers of Christ who know him personally and who grow in him continually. When Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become, This is a statement where he's saying, I'm going to bring something about in a person's life. This is what we would call the new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that if any man's in Christ, behold, the old is passed away and all things have become new. He's become a new creation in Christ Jesus. He was formerly spiritually dead, now he's spiritually alive. And formerly he was separated from God because of his sins. Now he's in a right relationship because Jesus has forgiven those sins, and he's the bridge now that brings man and God together. And so because we're new creations, because the Son of God steps down out of heaven when a person turns from their sin and trusts in him, they become a new person on the inside. And listen, guys, I've said this before. You can't have the Son of God stepping down out of heaven into your life and it not make a difference. God help those people who say they have Jesus, but their lives have not changed. And so when Jesus says, I will make you become, he's speaking about life transformation. He's speaking about what we called, when we studied this together, sanctification, Christian growth, moving from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity, from being a baby in Christ to being a mature man or woman in Christ. Sanctification, this is where we are being set apart for God's purposes as he frees us more and more each day from the power of sin in our lives. He exposes sin in our hearts, and we're willing to turn from it and to embrace him. Growth is at view here. We want to help people to grow in Christ continually. When Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you become, this is speaking of something, a growth that's progressive, a growth that is gradual, a growth that is continual. Here's the bottom line. Followers of Jesus are supposed to become like Jesus. When we have this vital relationship with him, we begin to align our lives with his word, his will, and his ways. In 1 Peter chapter 2, write this verse down, verse 2, 1 Peter 2, 2. Peter says this, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Peter understood theologically, in a spiritual sense, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they start out as a baby. In the spiritual realm, it's possible for you to be a mature man or woman physically, but spiritually, if you just come to Christ, you would be considered a babe in Christ. You need to develop. You need to grow to become more like Jesus. My nephew, my brother's oldest, he is about to turn 18 years old. I remember when he was just a little baby, and I would hold him in the cusp of my hand up to the bend of my arm. And I just looked at this little dude, and I'm like, God, you have made such a wonderful creation here. His name's Chase. And as I looked at him, do you know what I began to think looking at this little baby? I began to look forward to the time when he was going to say his first words. And I couldn't wait to hear the words, Uncle Donald. Those were just going to be precious words. I was anticipating this little baby starting to speak. And then I was anticipating, man, there's going to be a time when he won't fit here anymore in my arm. And he's going to not just crawl and roll around, but he's going to actually stand up. And then I'm going to be able to chase him around the room. And we're going to be able to walk places together. And then I begin to think about looking forward. Man, there's going to be a time when I can go outside and I can throw a football with him. Or we can play baseball in the front yard. I can actually come to watch him play sports. Do you know what I was doing as I was looking at this little baby in my arm? I was expecting my nephew to grow. I was expecting this little baby to go through all these stages of development to grow up. And now he's practically a grown man. The New Testament, it places the same expectations upon babies in Christ. They are to grow. But let me tell you the disservice we've done in our churches. And man, a friend of mine pointed this out to me years ago. He said, Donald, our problem is that when people come into the church and come to faith in Christ, we just have this whimsical, you know, yeah, we hope you grow. We hope you get it. We hope you make it to where you need to be. We need to stop having this dimly veiled, pessimistic view of people becoming what they should be. And we're going to be a church that says, once you come to faith in Christ, we're not hoping this happens, but we're expecting it to happen. We're expecting you on this journey with Jesus Christ to grow in Him continually. You say, Pastor, how are we going to do that? We're going to help people develop Christ-likeness by all of these aspects of sanctification that we looked at together when we went over sanctification together. We're going to teach people to walk dependently. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength or your own power, but when you're saved, when you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and He is the one inwardly who equips and empowers and encourages and convicts and convinces and models for us and teaches us and guides us and directs us into the ways to become more like Jesus. We're going to teach people what it looks like to walk dependently, not in their own strength, but in the strength that God provides through the Spirit of God. We're going to teach people to develop Christ-likeness by praying daily and by studying obediently. There's nothing more important to our Christian walk then for us to understand that we have got to be disciplined to connect our hearts in prayer to God, sharing our hearts with Him on a day in and day out basis. And we're going to teach people how to do that, and then what does it look like to study obediently? This book, it's got information in it. But it's not just intended to be a book of information. That's where most of us are. We know what it says, but it's to go from information to application. You actually study and you know what it says, and then you say, how do I apply this in my marriage, at my job, living in my community, to the trials I'm going through in life, whatever. And once you take it, it moves from instruction to application, that's where the transformation comes in. And God will change your life through it. So we're going to teach people not just to study, to mark off some spiritual discipline they've completed for the day, but they're going to get into God's Word and say, all right, how do I do something with this today? So we'll develop Christ-likeness by praying daily, studying obediently, gathering together weekly. The local church is vitally important for our growth in Christ. People, once they come to faith in Christ, they need to be baptized, profess that faith publicly, and enter into the membership of the church. Not just attenders, not people on the outside looking in, but they're buying into what the church is all about, and they want to be a part of the family of God. We're going to teach them the importance of membership. And then they're going to understand the importance of fellowship. We want all of our people to grow, to be connected in a small group. We value Sunday school here at Lakeland Baptist Church. And the way you make a large church smaller is through small groups. And it's there where you are encouraged by other brothers and sisters in Christ, and they walk through life with you. And then we're going to teach them the value of worship. God expects us all, week in, week out, and we need to quit making excuses as to why we can't give God our Sundays. We are to come here faithfully together, and we are to refocus our hearts on Him in song and in the preaching of the Word as we are encouraged as a body of Christ together. So we're going to gather weekly, and then we're going to teach people to serve faithfully. God gifts us all with spiritual gifts once we come to know Him, and He expects us to take those gifts that He's given us, to discover them, to develop them, and then deploy them in the church. I'm so thankful for everyone who serves here at Lakeland Baptist Church, but we've got a lot of people who are sitting on the sidelines just watching, and they're not serving in any way. And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us in verses 11 and following that God gives the church leaders to equip the saints for the work of service. So the gifts God's given you, one of the ways in which you're going to grow and reach maturity is by finding that place where you can start serving, and God will work maturity into your life by being willing to be a part of His local church and to serve Him in our efforts for the gospel. We're going to teach people to live submissively. You'll remember that we talked about one of the primary ways God helps us grow is through trials in life. When you become a Christian, you're going to have those moments up on the mountaintop, and then there are going to be those times in the valley. Sometimes you may think you're in the valley more than you are on the mountaintop. Life's going to be good, going strong, and then all of a sudden, you're going to feel like you have just hit a brick wall, and you just don't understand why your life's falling apart around you. But we're going to help people understand, according to James chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8, that growing in Christ continually, it means that no matter what life is like, whether you're up or whether you're down, you understand that there's nothing that comes into your life that's not filtered through the grace of God, and He's going to use it for His glory and for your good, and He's going to grow you through that. And he expects you through the pain and through the difficulty and through the hurt and through the good times to keep being faithful to him and seeking him. He'll use that to grow you. And then last of all, we're going to keep teaching people that to become more like Christ, you're going to have to give generously. We cannot accomplish our mission here at Lakeland Baptist Church unless we are faithful to be stewards, good stewards of what God's entrusted to us. And that's going to mean giving faithfully of our tithes and offerings and even asking God, how much more would you have me to give to help this church get to where you want her to be so that we can make a gospel impact for eternity? There was a study published back in 2014 by the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and it debunked a long-held misconception. It was a misconception about trees. And the report says this: trees never stop growing during their lifespan. In fact, as they age, their growth accelerates, even after they've reached massive sizes. This groundbreaking finding, which was published in this study, the researchers analyzed 673,000 different trees, 403 different species from various temperatures and regions across six continents. And they concluded that for most tree species, massive growth rates continue to increase with their size, with some species' largest trees growing by a mass equivalent to a mid-sized tree in a single year. See, formerly it was thought that trees reached a point where they just stopped growing. But trees actually, according to this research, they never stop. They're always growing. The words here, grow in him continually, that's intentional. Once you come to know Christ, you will never stop growing in him. You will never be fully developed this side of eternity. We're going to be like trees. Sometimes our growth rate will come at different times and at different points. But in our spiritual man, our spiritual woman, we will always be developing, always progressing. This doesn't mean we'll ever reach perfection. None of us will ever be perfect until we are glorified with Christ in heaven. But we will always need these practices to become our way of life so that we can become as fully like Christ as possible on this side of our new bodies, which we'll receive when God makes all things new. So we want to be a church that raises up faithful followers of Christ who know him personally, who grow in him continually, and then last of all, as we conclude, who go with him missionally. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. Jesus had a goal from the beginning to make these men just like himself. When he said, I will make you fishers of men, Jesus is using an analogy here. It was common back in this day to be a fisherman. It was a trade common among the culture. And just as fishermen would go out into the sea to catch fish, Jesus was telling his disciple, there's coming a point, once you attach your life to mine and you submit to me and I work in you and I disciple you, my ultimate goal for you is to become a fisher of men. As a fisherman fishes for fish, your goal is going to be one who goes out to catch men for me. This is what we called the aspect of mission. Jesus came with an assignment. The assignment the Father gave him in accomplishing our salvation was to raise up faithful followers that he would reproduce his life in them, and then they would take on his mission, his assignment. What was that assignment? It breaks down to twofold. He would deploy them to share the gospel, send them out to make the gospel known, and then he would deploy them to disciple others. You see, we can't do one or the other and be on mission with Jesus. We have to do both. And so a faithful follower of Jesus here at Lakeland is going to be someone who is sent out to share the gospel, and then someone who's going to invest their life into others to help them become fully mature in doctrine, in the spiritual disciplines, and then knowing what it looks like to confront people with the truth of the gospel and lead them to Jesus. And then also to say, hey, I'm ready to help new converts get to that place of maturity where they need to be. And Lakeland, our church, I'm grateful for those of us who are sharing the gospel, but this is not something we're very good at here at Lakeland. When we did our study and analyzed our church, 70% of our people confess that they rarely or never tell someone else about Jesus. That's not good, but we're going to change that culture here at Lakeland. We're going to raise up people who are going to be deployed to go share the gospel. And then we're going to get our discipleship groups up and going, as we've been talking about over the last couple of months. And we're going to have spiritually mature leaders who know how to walk with others to get them to that place where they are spiritually mature and they can make disciples who make disciples. So what are we striving to accomplish here at Lakeland Baptist Church? We're going to glorify God by developing faithful followers of Christ, this is easy to remember, who know him personally, grow in him continually, and go with him missionally. You could even shorten this to help you memorize it. We want to raise up devoted disciples who know, grow, and go. It's broad, gives us the big picture. It's brief. Everyone here can easily memorize this. And it's biblical. It's based out of Mark chapter 1, verse 17. DNA is a hereditary material that we receive from our parents. And basically, it's this material that's in the nucleus of a cell that gives information to the body on what it looks like to build itself up and to repair itself and to stay healthy. DNA is basically the information that guides the body and what it is to do. I want you to take this mission statement, I want you to think of it as the DNA of Lakeland Baptist Church. You want to know what we're about, and you want to help others know what we're about, this is going to give us that information. It's drawn from Mark 1:17. We are a church that this is going to guide us in all that we're doing. We want people to know Jesus personally, repent of their sins, and trust in him. We want people to grow in him continually, become a part of the church, help them to establish the disciplines they need in life to grow and to become like him. And then we want people to become mature to the point where they're going with him missionally. They're sharing the gospel with others, and they're reproducing Christ in the lives of others through committed, intentional discipleship. This is going to give us guidance. We're going to put it on our website. We're going to have banners that are going to advertise this. It's going to be on our printed literature. We're going to make this all throughout the church, and I want you to be committed to learning this by heart, so that you can help others know what our church is about, and so that you actually know what it looks like to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. As we come to this time of response, maybe you're here this morning, and a lot of this hasn't made much sense because you can say, I just don't know God in a personal relationship. We want to help you this morning. We're going to have some pastors down front, including myself, who are here to help point you to Jesus Christ. Just come, and we are willing to walk with you in that journey to show you what it looks like. And I want to ask you to be praying about this mission statement, that it will take root in the hearts of our people, that you'll understand in your heart what this means for you being a faithful disciple, and that others at our church will understand it. And we can gear everything we're doing to raising up men and women who know, who grow, and who go. Would you please stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this clear text where Jesus explains to us what a disciple is. And we just ask you to use it in our hearts this morning. If there's one person here who doesn't know whether they're a disciple of yours, God, I pray you'll give them courage to seek us out during this time or even afterwards so that we can help clarify anything that they need to know. God, we love you. Work this in to our hearts so that it becomes the DNA of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.